We've been gone through the book of James with that theme, faith works. And we've seen as James has been teaching us the practicality of faith and how it works within us. We saw how faith works within us to enable us to persevere. That when those hard and difficult times come, and we all have them when those trials and adversities come, enabling us to rejoice in them because God is at work and he's working out his goodness in us, enabling us to persevere. Then we've seen how faith listens, that when God speaks to us through his word and he gets our attention and we hear his voice, we take that into practice and we hear it and we put it into practice in our life and begin to do what he tells us to do. Now, last week we saw how faith loves in an unconditional way, and faith treating all people the same, showing no partiality, playing no favorites. But today we come to really the core of what James has been trying to build up to in his teaching on the living and the working of faith. Because today we want to talk about faith acts. Faith, putting our faith into action. And if our faith is real, and we believe in Christ, and we have been saved by faith as we believe, personally, James says that that will show up in our life, and will be put into practice in the way we live. Because as saved believers in Christ, there's no way, place for us to be sitting on the sidelines in our faith. For we'll be rolling up our sleeves, putting on our boots, and putting our faith to work in action. Because faith, James tells us, without works or action is useless. This portion could be perhaps one of the most difficult to understand in trying to justify and understand the role of faith and works. Because it seems to be in contradiction to something Paul taught us. Because we believe, don't we, and we believe that the Bible teaches that salvation and justification, being made just or right before God, comes by faith alone, right? Can we ever work our way to heaven? No. So salvation comes by faith alone. But James seems to be teaching us here that he says that we're not saved by faith alone. We have to have works as well. And that can be confusing. What's the Lord trying to say? And it was that contradiction that seems to stand against each other that led Martin Luther to call James a strawy epistle. He did not care for the book of James too much, because Martin Luther believed in salvation by faith, which we all do. And Romans, Paul teaches that very strongly, that we're saved by faith alone. But here, James says that faith, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. And he tells us that we are justified by faith and works. So how do we understand what God is saying here? Are they a contradiction with each other? Before we get into the teaching of the word, we need to understand this a little bit. They weren't contradicting each other, because I'm going to explain it to you this way. It's kind of like James and Paul were talking about two different sides of a coin. And Paul was concerned about the fact and teaching against the fact that we can't be saved by what we do. And so he was reminding us that we're saved by faith alone, that we can never be good enough. It's not our works. We're not saved by works of righteousness. We're saved by faith in Jesus. We know that. And so Paul was teaching on that side of it, of the gospel. But James had a concern as well. And James' concern was that there was a teaching in the people, and still in the people believe today, that all we have to do is say we believe in Jesus, and that's enough. It doesn't matter how we live. Is that true? You think God's concerned about how we live as believers? If we say we're a believer in Christ, you think how we live matters? Of course it does. And that's what James was concerned about. He was saying, yes, it's enough to say you have faith in the Lord, but how we live counts too. And how we live that faith out in our life matters. And that's what James was concerned about. So James was looking at it from the perspective of how we live our life after a believer. And Paul was looking about how we are saved. And so really, it's two different sides of a coin. They were like standing back to back, looking at, and it's two different buildings, both aspiring up together. that faith and works work hand in hand. Both two different sides of the gospel. Like this picture describes it well. It's like a boat with two oars, and it takes two oars to row a rowboat. And if you try, and I used to go fishing out in the lake, and I would go out in the rowboat, and if you try to row with one oar all the time, you're going to keep going around in circles, right? You're not going to get anywhere. You're going to keep going around this way, and you're going to keep pulling the wrong direction. And it takes both oars pulling together to go straight and to drive the boat. And it takes faith in Jesus Christ, but it also takes our works, our service to Christ as well. And both go hand in hand. And that's what we're going to be looking at as we go into what James is teaching us this morning. Because he's going to give us two truths that tell us that faith acts and that faith works within our life. And if our faith is real, it should be clearly be seen in the way we live our life. And that's what James is saying. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you are saved by faith in Christ alone, it should be clearly seen and evidenced in your life. And people should be able to see it by the way we live and how that faith works within us. So the first truth we discover is that works are the evidence of a living faith. And that's what James is teaching us here. When he says, what good is it if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? And James asked that question. He said, if we claim we have faith but our life does not show it, and there's no outworking of that, and there's no evidence of that by the way we live, James asked the question, can such faith save him? What do you think the answer to that question is? It's an obvious no. He's saying that faith, our life in Christ, our salvation is evidenced, our living faith is evidenced by our lifestyle. Because works are not a means to salvation, James says. They are the evidence of it. It's the fruit of it. The fruit of our faith is seen by how we live our life, but how it's lived out every day. And James is going to give us several examples of how that's true. Because a fruitless faith is a dead faith, James says. Because he says faith without works or not accompanied by action or fruit in our life, but it's not evidenced of it, he said it's dead or it's useless, or it's non-existent. It's not there. The word faith appears 16 times in the book of James alone, because he's very talking about how we live this faith out. About 11 times are in this passage of these verses we're looking at now. 11 times of the 16 that he mentions faith are here. And 8 of those times it's in connection with a person who claims to have faith, but their life is not backing it up with deeds. The point is that if a man claims to have faith, but doesn't live it out in his life and his life doesn't show it, James would say, and God says, then the faith is not real. And we need to examine our heart. And that's what he's saying here. Because a fruitless faith is a dead faith because it can't save. It can't produce life. It's dead. There's nothing there. Turn to Matthew chapter 7 and hear what Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 16 and 20. Jesus was talking about the fruitfulness of our life and how we know whether there's life. Now, we get into the springtime, and we start to see the trees. Right now, you look at the trees and all the leaves are gone and they look dead from the outside. But spring comes and you see the blossoms start to come. And you see the life start to appear. And then as the summer goes on, the trees get greener. We get into the fall and then that apple tree producing all those apples. And you know that that tree is alive because you see evidence of the fruit, right? And you see the fruit within the tree coming, and you know There's life there because the fruit shows it. Jesus said the same thing in Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. He's talking about sheep, and he says, by their fruit you will know them. Because he said, a good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. And a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. But Jesus said, a tree is known by the kind of fruit it bears. And so if there is fruit, there is faith. And what kind of fruit should be produced within our life? Well, the fruit of service and of works, James says, but also the fruit of faith, love, joy, peace, kindness, those fruit of the Spirit that he outlines for us in Galatians, that are evidence of the fact that the Holy Spirit lives within us. So how much fruit are you bearing? In fact, in John chapter 15, Jesus says it's our Father's glory that we bear much fruit, showing our life in him. But a life that does not bear fruit, he said, is a dead faith, because a tree is known by its fruit. And if there is no fruit, James says, and Jesus says, there's no faith. But a fruitless faith is a dead faith because it doesn't say, but it also doesn't work. Notice what he says in verses 15 through 17. He said it's dead, it's useless, there's no life there. But he also said it doesn't do any good. He said, suppose, and he gives an example. He said, suppose you're at home and a knock comes to your door. And he said, you see a brother or a sister. So there he's pointing out, this is a fellow believer. Someone who is a believer in Christ comes to your door, and you realize that they have a desperate physical need. They're in desperate need of some help. And they come to you and say, and you're, it's obvious, he said the need was obvious. You can see that they were warm and they needed clothing, and it was an obvious need. And you say to that person, God bless you. Go home and be nice and warm. But you don't do anything to help them out. James says, what good is your faith? Meaning, it's not doing any good. It's not helping. It's not life. There's nothing there. So he says, true faith, if it doesn't work in us, he said, then that faith is useless. Faith produces within us. Here, use the example of caring for those with around us that have a need. But if it doesn't work, doesn't do any good, then what happens? I like this story, this little cartoon I come across. Boy says, I have faith that you will give me $10 for the movies. And his mother says, show me your faith by your works. And gives him a broom, and says, here. And that's what God says to us as well. You know, we can say, I have faith that you'll provide, but yet God doesn't expect us to sit back and do nothing, does he? He expects us to put our faith into practice. Put our faith into work. And true faith does that. It doesn't work because it doesn't do any good. It doesn't help those in need. It also doesn't make any difference. And faith at work within our life should make a difference in the way we live. People should be able to see that. Or there should be a change within us. We've talked about before about that of forgiveness. And Kim talked about it, alluded about it again this morning in the story with the Wilsons. But when someone has wronged us, do we hold on to that, or do we release it and let it go? Do we harbor that unforgiveness within our heart? Faith working within us should make a difference in the way we look and treat others, and release that and not hold on to it, not build a grudge and not let it continue and fester. But a fruitless faith is a dead faith. But a fruitless faith is also a demonic faith. You say, whoa, Dan, what are you saying? What do you mean a fruitless faith is demonic? Where are you coming up with that? That's pretty strong words. But that's not mine. It's God's. It's James's words. Let's look what he says here in verses 18 and 19. We'll try to explain and understand it. But he said, someone will say to you, you have faith and I have deeds. In other words, he's saying, you have faith and I have actions. So that's good enough. You do your faith and I'll do the actions, and that's all we need. And James says, no. He said, that's not right. That's not good enough. Because as you believe that there's God, and just to have faith without actions, he said, isn't good enough. He said, you believe that there's God, that God exists. He says, good. And a lot of people today will say, oh, I believe in God. Have you heard a lot of people say, oh, I believe in God, or I believe God's good, or I believe this about God? But he said that even the demons believe that. Even Satan believes that God is real. You know that? And so he's saying just to have faith without acting on that faith, without living that faith out, he said, is the same kind of faith that Satan and demons have. It's a demonic faith. Because demons believe a lot of the same things we do. You may not realize it, but they do. They believe in the existence of God. They believe and they know God exists. They believe in the deity of Christ. They know who Jesus is. There's many accounts in Scripture where the demons, when the presence of Jesus, terror and fear, because they knew who he was and they know who he is. They also believe in the reality of heaven and hell, and they believe in that and they know it's real. They also believe in the final judgment, and they also believe that Jesus alone can save. So just saying faith here, James says the demons believe that. Because faith is not a mere intellectual assent. And just to say, oh, I believe God, or I believe in God, James saying there's more to it than that. Because it's not just a mere intellectual assent, because faith is also simply not an emotional response. Because he goes on and says here, even the demons believe that God exists. And not only do they believe that, it says they shudder. When they realize and of God's greatness and what's coming, they shudder. They have an emotional response when they think of God. So just having an emotional response is not enough. Faith involves a willful surrender and obedience of our life. Faith involves not only believing, but trusting and relying. That's salvation by faith, meaning we know and believe that it's real, but then we respond with surrender and reliance and trust. That's something that Satan and the demons don't do. And responding with that change of obedience and surrender and our action. Because James says mere faith alone is not enough. So works are the evidence of a living faith, James says. But the second thing he tells us is that works are also the result of a growing faith. Not only is it the evidence that if there's faith is real, there should be evidence. It should be seen clearly in our life. There should be evidence to show it. The second part is that works are the result of a faith that is growing and vibrant and alive. Because works, James tells us, are not the cause of salvation. They are the outworking of salvation. That faith and works go hand in hand, not saved by what we do, but if we are saved by faith in Christ, works should naturally be produced. Good works and service within our life should actually be produced within us. come across this little slide that describes it well too. It says salvation always produces works, but works never produce salvation. And that's how James says we know that our faith is real. That's how we know it's working within us. So look within your life. What is the evidence that you are showing and demonstrating of your faith in Christ that's real? What works? What fruit is being produced and lived out in you? What ways of service? Because faith plus nothing equals salvation. But salvation equals obedience plus good works resulting in growth in the Lord. And when our faith is at work within us, it produces a growing faith. And that's what James is saying here, that works are the result of a growing faith, because a working faith is an acting faith. He gives several examples. And he said, "You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless?" In verse 20, "Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar?" You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. We'll come back to that. But the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. And that's what sounds confusing. But what he's saying is we're justified by our faith, and it's being demonstrated by our works, because a working faith is an acting faith. And he uses Abraham as an example. He's referring to an incident in Genesis 15, and we need to go back there because this is what he's referring to. In Genesis chapter 15, God had called Abraham at the age of 75, as you know his story, to leave Ur, his hometown, and to follow him to a land that he was going to give to him. To make that out of him, he was choosing to build a nation on Abraham, that through him, eventually Jesus would come. And he was going to build it on Abraham's family. The problem was, as you know this story, Abraham and Sarah had no children. And they were 75 at the time, but now time has passed. He followed God and he went to the land where God had given him. He's now living there. Some time had passed and still Abraham and Sarah still had no children. So chapter 15, verse 1 says, "After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision and said, 'Don't be afraid, Abram, I am your shield and your great reward.' But Abram said, 'O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus, who was his servant.' And Abram said, 'You have given me no children, and so a servant in my household will be my heir.' But then the word of the Lord came to him, and God said, 'This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir.' And he took him outside and said, 'Look up to the heavens and count the stars, and if indeed you can count them.' And he said to him, 'You so shall your offspring be.'" And verse 6, "So Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness." And that's what James is referring to here. That God made a promise to him that he would have a son, have great descendants, and become a great nation. You know the story. Finally, God gave, and the son Isaac was born. And later on, God came to him and said, "I want you to take that son." It was a test. We talked about that before. He said, "I want you to take Isaac and put him on the altar as a sacrifice to me." And Abraham believed, and that's where he demonstrated his faith. Because he believed that promise that God had gave him there, that he would, through his descendants, God would bless him and he'd become a great nation as numerous as the stars of the sky. And Abraham believed. And he showed and demonstrated that faith that when that great test came and God said, "Put him on the altar," Abraham obeyed and he trusted and he demonstrated his faith. And he believed in that promise that somehow God would restore him, Isaac, if he needed to. But he believed. And he acted on his belief. He showed his faith by how he lived. He demonstrated it. How are you showing and demonstrating your faith? by how your by your daily life. When God calls you to trust Him in hard and difficult ways, when God calls you to do those things, how are you demonstrating your faith and obedience? Are you showing that it's real and living it out? And God may not, thankfully, call you or I give your child on the altar to Him. But God calls us to demonstrate our faith in other ways. He calls us to trust Him sometimes in some very difficult ways. But when He does, if your faith is real, a working faith is an acting faith, and we will respond in obedience. We will trust Him. He uses another example, Rahab. An unlikely hero in the Bible, an unlikely person that we would hold up as an example, but God in His grace, a love and the grace of God, that He here exalts Rahab, who was a prostitute, who made her living in that way. And not only was she saved by her faith, but she became in the bloodline of Jesus. And she became part of the bloodline of Christ. But in that account, Israel had come out of the wilderness. They had wandered 40 years. It was now the time to go in to take over the land. And so Joshua sent out some spies into the land to see and to spy it out and bring a report back to Joshua so he can begin to put the battle plans together. And the two spies were received into Jericho by Rahab, who happened to have a house on the wall and saw these strange men coming in. And in her business, she welcomed them in. And eventually she realized who they were. And she had faith. And she believed that God was going to destroy Jericho. And she put her faith in God. And she said, when it happens, save me. She said, remember me. And save our life. And the spy said, whenever it happens, put this cord in your window, scarred a cord, and when we see it, we'll save you, and you'll be redeemed. And she then hid the spies. She hid them and kept them safe, and then let them go out into the city alive so that they wouldn't be captured. And James says that's how she showed her faith. She put her life on the line and demonstrated her faith by her actions. So working faith is a living faith. It's an act of faith. And how is your faith being lived out in your daily life? That's what James calls us to do. But a working faith is also a maturing faith. Because going back again to verse 22, James, using Abraham as an example, said, you see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. That word complete there, some translations say perfected. And that also means matured, but it means to be grown up. It means to be developed. And what James is teaching us here is that our faith grows as it is exercised, as it is demonstrated, it is perfected by our actions, by our service, by what we do. That matures, grows, and deepens and develops our faith. Not only is it an evidence of it, but that's how our faith grows. And that's how our faith deepens. We can think of many examples in Scripture, many examples in our own life. But in Scripture, one of the great ones I like to think of was whenever the nation of Israel was getting ready to cross the Jordan River. At flood stages, Joshua was ready to lead them in and to cross over into the other side. And to cross the Jordan, ever given the command to go forward and to cross the river at flood stage, but it said that the water didn't part until the priest first touched the water and put their foot in. Another example was whenever Jesus was walking across the Sea of Galilee and the storm was coming up in the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples were in the boat and they were terrified. They thought they were going to drown, and they saw Jesus walking in the water, and he called to them. And Peter says, if it's you, Jesus, call to me and I'll come to you. And Jesus said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and began to walk across the water. Now that was faith. That was putting his faith in action, wasn't it? I mean, that definitely was putting his faith in action. And he said, and he came and he walked across the water and he began to, till he began to take his eye off of Jesus and look in the circumstances around him. Or maybe he began to realize what he was doing. I don't know. But he then began to sink, and he cried out to Jesus, "Save me," and the Lord reached him out. But he put his faith, he demonstrated, he took action, and that deepened his faith. I believe that Peter's faith was a lot deeper after that experience. And ours is as well, that as we put our faith in practice, and we serve him by what we do, it matures us. When we learn to trust him in new ways, when we get to the end of the month and we have bills piling up, but we don't have the money there to take care of it, and we trust that God will supply our need, and we see him come through in ways that we wouldn't have any other way, and know that that deepens our faith. I told the story before of the time when I was traveling with the Johnson sisters, and we had to drive home late at night, and they were driving home late at night in the van, and Ruth and Dot, the two sisters, were driving in the one van, and I was with Mech, the evangelist, in the other. And they started home. They had a quarter of a tank of gas and no cell phones in those days, no way to communicate. And they had a long way to go and still had not didn't have any gas, much gas in the car, and they didn't have any in the van, didn't have money to stop to get any. And they were driving and went up this hill. And Dot had her foot on the floorboards, and the van was fully loaded, was going up this hill all by itself. They got home. We got home and still had a quarter of a tank of gas, the same that they had at the very beginning. And you can't explain things like that except God and faith and trusting and believing that he'll provide. And there's many ways in which he does that, and many times he does that. And we put our faith in practice by belief and trust and service, our faith deepens. But a working faith is also a rewarding faith. In verse 23, it says that Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He believed on it, he trusted God, and he put his faith into practice and demonstrated it by how he lived. And he was rewarded. God rewarded that test by providing for a ram in place of Isaac, and he wasn't sacrificed, and God provided and met the need. But God will provide for us, and our faith, when we put our faith into practice and serve him, the end is that reward of someday standing before him and saying, "Well done, you've done well." Receive the reward. We want to be on this side, don't we? When we stand before the Lord someday, we want to have a reward to receive, not for our glory, but to give to him. We don't want to be over here where we get to heaven and have nothing to lay at the feet of Christ to honor him. And so our reward, our works are to be rewarded, and we will be rewarded based on that. Jesus told the story of the sheep and goats, and they were being standing before the Father. They were being judged, and they said, "When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was clothed, when I was naked, you gave me clothes." And they said, "Well, when did we do that?" And Jesus said, "When you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me." And they were rewarded for what they had done when they stood before the Lord. So faith without works, without service, without making a difference in our life is useless. It doesn't do any good. It's inactive. James says it's dead. So faith, works are the evidence of a living faith, and they are the result of a growing faith. Faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. So may God lead us and challenge us to put faith at work within us, showing and evidence living out every day of our faith and our trust in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for teaching us this morning on the importance of living out our faith, in trusting you, in serving you, in obeying you, in ways, Lord, that you call us to, not just to say we believe in you and it doesn't matter how we live or just sit on the sidelines, but if our faith is in you and it's living, there should be evidence of that. It should be seen in the fruit being produced within us. It should be naturally producing within us a desire to serve you, to see needs around us and to respond to them willingly. Not to bring glory to us, but to bring glory to you. And Lord, that the outworking of our faith would be natural. Because faith, unless it's accompanied by action, is useless, it's dead, it's non-existent. So Lord, may we all look within ourselves and examine our heart and say, is faith alive and working within us? The faith that we profess, the faith that we trust in you in, is it working within us to produce within us acts of service, love, and grace, and trust and obedience? That we live for you each and every day, not just on Sunday mornings, but every day and every moment of our life. Our faith is making a difference in how we live, how we treat others, how we think, how we respond, and how we love and how we forgive. So Lord, help us to be more like you each and every day. Deepen and grow our faith as we exercise it, as we use it, as we serve you, and as your faith works within us each and every day. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.